grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the third in our series of sermons on Christian stewardship is recorded in the Gospel of St. Matthew. We read in the 16th chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. But I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God. In one of our hymns last Sunday, we sang about builders bold with vision pure, which looked beyond brick and stone. May our vision as Bethlehem congregation also be pure so that we look beyond the steel that is rising and the cement and concrete that eventually, soon, will be poured, to look beyond those tangible things and see the real church. Men, women, and our children, whom God the Holy Spirit has called to build their faith and our faith on Jesus Christ, the rock, the cornerstone. We are constructing a building of steel and concrete footers. We are putting together ministry with building blocks of different plans and different groups to carry out those plans as part of our stewardship that we've been talking about. Yet, let's not forget that part of our stewardship does not include building the church. You and I cannot and do not build the church. Christ Jesus builds his church on the rock. And so we consider that this morning, that Christ builds his church on the rock. And we see first that that rock is Christ. And it is that rock whom Peter and we confess. I hope you caught that I said the Holy Spirit builds the church. And I said Christ builds the church. Both of those things are true, because we cannot divide the works of the persons of God. What the Bible says of one person is also true of the others. We can include the Father in this building. God the Father builds his church as he forgave the entire world of our sins through the perfect life and sacrificial death of his Son, Jesus Christ. About that Jesus Christ, people hold a variety of opinions about who he is. They had this variety of opinions, not only now, but during Jesus' public ministry. On this occasion, when Jesus was about 25 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, in the region of Caesarea Philippi, he inquired of his disciples who were with him, "Who do people say that I am?" There's quite a variety of responses the disciples gave. They ran the gamut from John the Baptist, back from the dead, all the way up to the prophet Elijah, come back to earth. Some people thought that he was Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets who had come back from the dead. Now, people today may not hold just exactly those wrong opinions about Jesus, but we've heard the whole gamut. Jesus was a good man. Jesus was a prophet, great teacher. Jesus is an excellent example of how we should live. Now, all of those wrong opinions about Jesus have in common with the ones that disciples listed, because not a single one of them mentioned that Jesus Christ is God, or that Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world from sin. Jesus wasn't so much interested in what others thought about him as what his student followers thought about him. And so he asked and directed his question now to his disciples. "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter, with his self-imposed position of spokesman for all the disciples, answered for himself and for the disciples, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." St. Peter sums up the person and work of Jesus beautifully with those terms. "Jesus, we believe that you are the Messiah. You are the chosen one, the anointed one of God. You are that seed of Abraham in whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed. You are the Son of the living God. You are God Himself come into the flesh." This is the faith that Peter confessed. This is the faith that we confess in the three ecumenical creeds. Christ builds His church on the rock. And that rock is Christ Himself. It's not Peter. It's not a man. But it is the Christ whom Peter confessed that is the foundation of the church. There's two words in Greek for rock here. One means a little tiny stone or pebble. And that's what Jesus called Peter when He says, "You are the rock." But when He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," He used a word that means a cliff, a rock face. Think like the rock of Gibraltar. It is on that rock Himself whom Peter confessed that Jesus, the Christ, would build His church. Peter was not the first pope. Peter was not the first human being on whom the true saving church is built, and you must believe in him and the power and authority of his word in order to be saved. That is blasphemy. We build on Christ. God builds us on Christ. No more than those pieces of steel can erect themselves into a church building, can you and I, who are dead in our trespasses and sins, raise ourselves into the spiritual body of Christ. Christ does that. The Holy Spirit does that. The Father does that. The Holy Spirit has called us by the gospel to saving faith in Jesus. Through the gospel and word and sacrament, He has placed us upon Christ the rock in our baptism, through the preaching of the word, through the true body and blood of Christ we receive in the sacrament. Christ and the Holy Spirit continue to build His church and preserve His church on Christ the rock. You and I, as believers, have stewardship of that Word of God. We have stewardship of the means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament. But we do not have stewardship of the church. We can't call anybody to faith. We can't convert anybody from unbelief to faith. We can't change anyone from a stranger and foreigner into a member of God's household. Christ builds His church on the rock. That rock is the one Peter and we confess. And this is where we insert ourselves into the picture. We make the same confession of Christ that Peter made. We just confessed the Apostles' Creed. Remember from Catechism? That doesn't mean the Apostles wrote it, but it means we confess the same things the Apostles confessed. And so when we confess the Apostles' Creed, we're saying here we agree with Peter. We believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the chosen one, the anointed one, God Himself come into the flesh to save us. It's no small thing that you and I believe in Jesus as our Savior. In fact, it's a miracle. It's a miracle also that Peter and his disciples believed that Jesus is those things that they confess. I mean, think about it. Jesus, when He preached in the synagogue of Nazareth, where He grew up, was rejected because the people He grew up with said, "This is Joseph and Mary's son. He couldn't be the Messiah, so let's throw him off a cliff." The Jewish leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, they didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ. In fact, one time they even said, "You're Satan. You're the devil himself come into the world to men." Crowds believed in Jesus. They swarmed around Jesus as He was turning 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish into enough to feed thousands and thousands of people with countless baskets left over. And when Jesus stopped feeding their stomachs, we read, from that time on, many of His disciples turned back and no longer followed Him. It's no small thing that at this point in Jesus' ministry that Peter and the other disciples still confess that truth of Jesus. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that you and I confess those things of Jesus. We believe with our hearts, don't we? And we confess with our mouths that same thing Peter confessed and believed. The Apostle Paul's words to the Romans in chapter 10 came to my mind as I was writing my sermon. "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Peter did not come up with this by his own thinking or choosing. Jesus told Peter, you didn't believe this because other flesh and blood told you this. He said to Peter, you know this because it's been revealed to you by my Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven has revealed that saving truth to us and made us disciples. Yes, it's true. Hours before Jesus' death, Jesus' disciples denied him and ran away from him. But the Holy Spirit preserved them in faith. He kept them built on Christ, the rock, so that as those storms of fear and sorrow began to beat against their house of faith, built on that rock of Christ, they didn't lose their faith. They didn't turn away from him as their Lord. Jesus then strengthened their faith for 40 days after his resurrection. And then he sent them a special gift of the Holy Spirit to keep them built on the rock. God continues to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit in the gospel to keep us built on Christ. The questions that we need to ask ourselves are not so much, why are there so many people who just properly don't confess Jesus as their Savior? How come there are so many that don't believe and make the same confession Peter did? How come our faithful stewardship of the gospel, when we take it out into the world, how come it doesn't convert everybody to faith in Christ? How come it doesn't multiply our membership suddenly here at Bethlehem? Those aren't the questions we need to ask ourselves. The questions we need to ask ourselves is, why do I know and confess that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God? How do I and why do I believe and know that Jesus is my Savior? Why am I willing to be generous and regular in my offerings of myself and all I have to do what Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching them the things that he commands? Those are the questions that we need to ask ourselves. And here's the answer. God's grace. Christ builds his church on the rock, on himself. And he gives us the knowledge and the faith with Peter to confess him as our Lord. Our confession and our faith join together with Peter's. And one day, when our new spire has fallen, and one day when it's lying in the ground in dust, and there are still two believers on this earth, that message of Christ the rock, that faith and that confession will continue to go out that agrees with Peter and us. It is our confession. It is your confession because it is the right confession of the person and work of Christ. It is the right confession because we don't build the church. Christ builds his church on the rock. Amen.